Justine, you're involved in this Aurora capping study. What is that?
So the Aurora capping study is a really large-scale reclamation experiment that is on a portion of the Syncrude lease. And so what's going on in this reclamation experiment is that they have a variety of treatments. So the treatments are these different capping materials, and we are following basically the fate of these capping materials and looking at different receptors to see how they respond to the difference in capping materials. This is a really neat experiment because it's also replicated on this site. And so, for instance, my role in this experiment is to look at how the vegetation responds to these different capping treatments, and then also below and above ground linkages. So specifically how the trees and their below ground communities, mycorrhizal fungi, respond to these capping treatments.
You gave a talk today at the Conrad Symposium, and one of the things that you focused on were these fungi. What are these fungi?
So the fungi that I work with are called ectomycorrhizal fungi. So mycorrhizal fungi is just a general term for the kinds of fungi. They live in soils and they form associations with tree or plant roots. And ectomycorrhizas is a special type of mycorrhizal fungi that are formed predominantly on coniferous kinds of trees and some shrubs, and they have sort of a special structure in that the fungal tissue grows around the root tip, and then the fungi that colonize that root tip, then they have tissue that extends into the soil, which is important for resource uptake for that plant host or that tree host.
So is this something you would find in the natural forest?
Absolutely, yeah. So ectomycorrhizas, so if you were to dig up a tree or a seedling, you would for sure find ectomycorrhizae fungi colonizing those tree roots. And what actually is really interesting is you probably wouldn't find just one kind of ectomycorrhizae fungi, but on a given tree, you would find a whole community of mycorrhizal fungi. So lots of different species colonizing an individual tree or seedling.
So looking at these areas in the oil sands that are going to be rebuilt and the soil reclaimed, what would be the role here of those fungi?
Well, I think that the ectomycorrhizae fungi, we know already that they're really important for seedling survival, for seedling growth. There's lots and lots of research demonstrating their importance in that area. And so as soon as you're talking about reclamation and revegetation in the boreal forest, and most of the species that we're using are all common to the boreal forest, that immediately launches into ideas of ectomycorrhizae fungi, or the minimum that you have to be thinking about ectomycorrhizae fungi and thinking about not only restoring just the trees that make up the forest, but also all these other components, all these other interactions that are really important to maintaining the trees and that forest. And so the ectomycorrhizae fungi are a critical component to forests. And so if we agree that our goal is to restore boreal forests, then ectomycorrhizae fungi are a really important part of that.
What would be some of the challenges or concerns for you?
So the tricky thing is working with ectomycorrhizae fungi and soils and soil microbes, all those kinds of things, is the fact that you are working in soils. So working with plants, you can walk around, you could find a plant, you look at it, and you can probably say what kind of plant that is. You could probably give a species name to it. With fungi, it's a lot more difficult. So first of all, they're very, very tiny. And so they live in the soil, which is dark, and so you can't see them, and you can't just pick them up and look at them and necessarily give a name to them. So we have to use molecular techniques to help us with the species identification. And it's tricky in an experimental sense because we can't really create conditions in the field so easily where you can have, say, a treatment with mycorrhizas and a treatment without mycorrhizas. So that sort of hinders some of the experimental programs that we can do. It's working with them and giving them a name is tricky. That's the part that's tough to do.
And it's not like you're going to be starting off with the best soil in the world. You're using the soil that's left over from the mining operation. So tell me a little bit about the soil that you're actually going to be working with.
The two main cover soils that we're working with are sort of this peat mineral mix and then what is called an LFH. All that means is just sort of a forest floor. And what that forest floor looks like is going to be different depending on where you salvage from, like what kind of soil or what kind of forest it's from. And those two amendments or those two cover soils, they'll be really different probably in what ectomycorrhizae fungi will persist. When you think about the peat and the source of that peat, you know, it's going to be from something wet. You know, it's going to have a different sort of plant community than where that LFH is from. It's probably from an upland forest. You know, there might be jack pine, aspen, different tree species. And all of those factors are going to impact what mycorrhizal community first are in those substrates. But then you also have to take it one step further, because now they're being removed from their source conditions. And there's only going to be some mycorrhizal fungi that could tolerate that displacing. And so what we're left with at the end of the day is probably going to be just a subset of that mycorrhizal community that was present at those source locations.
And how long does it really take for it to colonize the soil to be useful?
Well, there's probably some propagules in those cover soils already. And so that's one of the things that we're looking at now. So what's already there? And then in terms of how long it takes for other species to disperse, it's sort of a question. It's species specific in that some species, you know, they'll be wind dispersed. Some species are more animal dispersed. So their mode of dispersal will vary. But it's also a question of how far away you are from intact forest. So if you're in a little island, it's probably going to take longer to receive those dispersing propagules than if you were adjacent to an intact forest. So there's some issues there.
If the fungi don't do well, does that mean that the trees won't do well?
They do go hand in hand. It's a symbiosis, right? So what's happening with the tree is going to affect ectomycorrhiza fungus and vice versa. We're still not quite at a good stage where we could gauge how well the fungus is doing. So with a tree, we can plant it, we can watch it grow, we can do those measurements, and we can say it's grown this much over a year, and we can decide if that's good growth or not enough. With fungi, we are developing tools that we can start to look at how well the fungus is doing. But in this area, that is one measure that I wouldn't say it's been elusive, but we're still working on it. So it might be premature to be able to say, oh, the fungus is doing poor or good versus the tree. So we're not quite there yet. But what I'm really interested in is how the hosts, how the trees can affect the composition of these mycorrhizal communities. And what I'm really interested in is being able to determine, so does the composition, does the diversity, does that matter to these trees? Does that matter to how a tree is going to grow? And starting to look at those sorts of questions.
There's been quite a few presentations at the symposium about the use of fertilizers. And that was a question that came up in the discussion after your talk. So is it a good thing or not to use fertilizers to help boost things along? Is that going to affect the fungi, or do you know?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. And I think it is really context specific. So with the hosts, they have to be somewhat surviving. They have to be somewhat growing to be forming these associations. So they have to be of a certain nutritional status, we'll just say. But what that is for each system is probably different. I think what we have to be mindful of is that there's not one blanket prescription. And so adding any sort of fertilizers, you have to do a case-by-case analysis. And so I wouldn't start necessarily saying that we need to add fertilizer, but I would want to see what's there, how are things doing, and then gauge.
How will industry use this?
I think everyone in the field is recognizing that to restore a forest, it's not just planting trees and measuring how productive the trees are. To restore a forest, it really is about restoring interactions between species. So for me, it's restoring those interactions between trees and these mycorrhizal fungi. For other people, it's going to be restoring understory plants and, say, pollinators. And I think we tend to forget about them because we can't maybe see them or manipulate them as easily as applying fertilizer. But often is the case of these interactions are really what's determining how abundant a species is on the landscape, the presence of that species on a landscape, if it's going to survive, if it's going to reproduce. So it really gets to, I think, understanding the resilience of these systems, which I think is really important when you think about future climates, future forests, and trying to build in some of that buffering capacity to these novel forests that we're building.
Well, you're involved in this Aurora capping study. You're also working on something else, and that deals with the pine beetle problem that we have. What's happening there?
Well, so that project, also a very, very interesting project. And so, as most people know, so Alberta, we have mountain pine beetle coming in. We're losing lots and lots of hectares of forest to mountain pine beetle. And so what my other research looks at is looking at forest recovery. So once the beetle has come in, has killed a bunch of overstory pine trees, what happens to the stand after? And so my focus is understanding above and below ground linkages. So for example, mycorrhizal fungi, they require a carbon source. They rely on their hosts for that energy. And so when you lose the dominant overstory, that carbon source is basically shut off for these mycorrhizal fungi. And so that project is looking at, so what are the consequences of that? Does the mycorrhizal community, can it hang on? Can it sort of associate with other sort of secondary species? Does it collapse? What happens if it does collapse? What happens if it does hang on? If you put new seedlings, if you're trying to grow the new forest into those sites, how do they interact with the mycorrhizal community, present or not? That's what we're looking at in that project.
Well, hooray for the fungi. Thank you very much, Justine.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.